Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
We all know Amazon has amazing deals and free shipping on orders over $25. If you use our link on our website, TagCastPodcast.com, we'll get a small kickback and you'll be supporting our show. Just go to the top right hand of our website, TagCastPodcast.com, and click on the link.
And now it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
See, because I paid a lake for weed, like, in the 70s, and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now. Welcome to episode 16 of the TagCast Podcast. My name's Terry Guile.
We got Gatch.
Yeah, Gatch over there.
This is Lamb of God, right?
Yeah, it was unplugged for a second.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they were so acoustic-based.
This is from their latest album.
That would remind me of Steel Loving You.
By the Scorpions.
By the Scorpions.
Yeah, well, speaking of that... Like we heard, Klaus Meine just might be the new singer for Lamb of God while Randy's in jail.
Do you think that's real, though? I mean, we saw it on the site. We read it and stuff.
Okay, now first, if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, Dustin texted me the other day and he said, I heard that Klaus Meine was going to be the new singer replacement while Randy Blythe was in jail.
Yeah, the guy from the Scorpions singing for Lamb of God.
And I said, is this a joke?
He actually texted me. What?
Yeah, I did. And if I had that queued up right now, I would say that. But I don't because I'm a loser. But anyway, yeah, I was like, is this a joke or is this serious? And like, I read it on the internet. So, of course, I had to look it up.
So, of course, it's real.
And I wikied it. I didn't wiki it. I binged it.
Uh-huh.
Bing, bang, boom. I binged it. And then it came up. You know, it was like the first story. Yeah, Klaus Meine to replace Lamb of God singer. So the site kind of looked like might have been like the Onion of music of heavy metal.
Yeah, it kind of almost looked like
What did it say about bath salts at the header?
Said the more bath salts you ingest, the more you believe this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw real stories in there that I had heard other places, and that just seemed like CD reviews and like live show reviews and basic stuff like that.
Yeah, and amidst all of that, It said Klaus Meine to replace Randy Blythe, and It said... I'm just going to paraphrase here, but this is what I remember reading. It said, Lamb of God, under the impression of the show must go on, have acted quickly to have someone so they can keep touring while Randy gets his stuff squared away. They never once mentioned the Scorpions, but they said a German singer named Klaus Meine, and it's spelled
who
exactly.
Who is a big fan.
And is that like John Smith?
It could
over
be
there,
Klaus,
yeah, right? Klaus Meine. That might be like John Brown or John Smith. Or
Meine, what's the... What's that? Kampf Mein? Mein Kampf?
Mein Kampf is that?
Yeah. Right, so Meine,
Yeah, maybe it's Klaus Meine. I just heard it was Meine.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's his name, but I mean, it might just be like a common kind of phrase. Maybe.
So this small little blurb of a...
We don't have any German listeners.
Hey, I'm German. I better be listening.
We have one German listener.
I'm half German. Half asshole on my mom's side. But so it goes on to say in detail that this singer has strong ties with the classic metal community. It doesn't mention the band Scorpions, but it does say that Klaus is a huge fan of Lamb of God and that he's ready to take the helm and just go with it. And then it doesn't say it's a joke. It just says that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason we're talking about this, because we wanted to bring up this topic to you and to each other. How do you feel about the charges that Randy is charged with being arrested right off the plane?
So what is the actual charge that he's alleged?
I didn't see involuntary at the beginning of it. I'm pretty sure it's just manslaughter.
Yeah, and they just might have manslaughter over there.
Which isn't that weird that if you, like, stab someone with a knife repeatedly, they just call it murder.
Uh-huh.
But if you accidentally kill him with something, they call it manslaughter. Like, you just fucking slaughtered him up and killed him.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know
well,
if
they
any...
could do. There's voluntary manslaughter, right?
Right. Which, what? Is that pushing someone in front of a car?
I guess
or something?
So. I don't
or...
know what the difference would be, murder and...
manslaughter. If it's not premeditated. If there's premeditation and malice.
Yeah.
Malice aforethought.
Uh-huh.
Which I learned that during
and
a mock
probably,
trial.
A little bit of and, negligence in there.
Yeah, negligent homicide.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if any of the listeners have actually went on to Blabbermouth or any of those places that are carrying the story, but they have a video on there, mm-hmm. and it shows it in slow motion and in regular motion and slow motion.
Yeah.
So the dude just jumps on the stage, and Randy and another security guard, I believe, had a hand in it too.
Yeah.
Pushed him off the stage, as anybody who's been to a metal show has seen 1 million trillion times.
But to me, Randy looks like he's exhausted.
Like he
from being up there.
Like he
and
never
he's
kill
like
somebody.
Head hanging down with his hair in front of his face or whatever. Just like catching his breath, sweating his ass off, and just kind of like uses his own. He's not like pushing him so much, but he is. He's extending his arm, I guess. But he's more like pushing his body forth, like he's just exerting a little energy to help the guy off, like you would see at a show.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like he was mad or like that he was like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't like look up at the guy like, you know.
Oh, you're getting
give
it
him
now.
An evil eye or like next time I'm going to kick your ass or, you know, he just looked like he was just up there and it was just his thing. You know, he was just helping the guy off because that's what people do. They jump up there and want to get off. And it's, I don't know, it's just one of those things. It's just the same as, you know, if somebody got killed playing football or whatever, who do you hold responsible?
Or baseball or anything else like that, you know? And I talked to several people over the weekend, and I had mixed responses. I believe a couple people said, well, unfortunately, I believe he is liable. I said, well, what about the hundreds of other times? Like, well, if you push somebody and they fall down and they die, then you're... kind of a little bit liable.
Yeah.
But the sucky thing is we don't know what their laws are in the Czech Republic.
Because here in the States, if it's a major venue and it has an actual ticket, it'll say right on the back that, you know.
You may die.
You may die from a hockey puck, you know, or somebody's shoe flying off and they're not going to be responsible. And I don't think
on the front it says, Slayer live at Roseland Theater. On the back it says, attending this concert means that you might die.
Yeah, you might die and no one is at fault, not the promoter, artist,
or Slayer.
Venue.
Yeah. But it just seems kind of harsh. I mean, I feel bad for the victim's family and I don't really... Is he a victim or is a victim of an accident?
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
I think if anything, you'd put it as involuntary manslaughter. But I think then at the point of when you go to trial, I think, well, from what I would understand in the States kind of a law is they would consider that.
Yeah. And,
you know, and so he might get, you know,
A lesser charge,
but then you still have to consider the family and you,
he's
going
to have to probably pay some restitution, but he's not going to probably rot in prison.
Yeah, but he also makes $200,000 a year.
Over there, they might just say you're 10 to life.
Yeah,
you don't know.
They could, yeah.
And there's a huge outcry and outrage of the fans, and they were trying to raise money to get him out, I guess, because he don't have $200,000 to get out of jail.
Do you think a more fitting punishment, though, since it was an accident just to cut off his hand so he could never push anybody again?
I guess, as long as he had one to hold the microphone.
Yeah, and then,
got mic stands.
You know, is that better than life in jail?
And over there, who knows? Well, I believe so, because he could still have his livelihood.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd only get to wave half as much when he saw his friends. He couldn't do the rap double-handed wave or the...
Yeah, he would need a partner in the wave.
He couldn't flip the double bird or anything, double whammy, or as Ricky calls it.
He could get one of those hooks, though, with
but
the bird.
Yeah, here's one of my questions, though. So this was in a weird country, and it was at a big venue. Mm-hmm. And say if it happened in America, you said it might be different at, like, a big venue. Mm-hmm. Say it happened at the Rockin' a Good Time place between Eugene and Portland, Dixie Creek Saloon.
Wow.
Say a band's rocking out.
Uh-huh.
Some unnamed guy or girl is standing in the front row, bent over, headbanging. some other girl just might decide to come up behind her and shove her as hard as she can from behind, launching her into the monitors and the mic stand.
Uh-huh.
Now, say she just happened to land wrong on the monitor and she had a brain aneurysm and died.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is she going to jail and $200,000 bail? I mean, are they going to wait till the next time this girl comes to the Dixie and they're just going to swarm in and arrest her and take her?
That would be, I don't know, that would be part negligence, right?
I'm just trying to say that it would pretty much probably
be
the same.
Yeah, it would be the same thing. It would be like an accident. When you're just out there having a good time. And
whoever this random person is that gets shoved into the monitor and dies, their family's not going to be happy.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to want some bucks.
And even if they are metalheads who understand.
Indians, they would want some land.
You know, say if it's a conservative parents or whatever that don't even like metal and they think that that's just.
Oh, yeah. That would be
that's
huge
stupid.
Deal.
And so, like, so they went to this metal show, which I told her never to get into, and she got shoved into a speaker and died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, metal kills. That's what you know, and
yeah,
they
Ozzy Osbourne
some...
is the next guy you're thinking of, right?
Right.
But I guess that's an interesting thing, though, because it's, you know, would you're a conservative parent and your kid gets shoved off of there by Randy Blythe and dies,
oh,
you know?
Oh, man.
You would be shutting down that place, but if you're an old rocker and you kind of understand, maybe you've been in the pit before, and you know, I mean, yeah. Obviously you're still gonna be just as devastated, but maybe you have a little bit of more leniency as far as like understanding the circumstances,
right? And saying, you know, this guy didn't mean anything by shoving him, mm-hmm. except for say, dude, I'm up here trying to do my job, and you're in my way.
Yeah.
I didn't punch him in the face. He could have just punched him in the face,
and
you know.
It's a standard practice at a show. It's like if somebody was working a job as a forklift operator.
Yeah.
And then
something fell on him or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, it's the sucky thing is that he's probably trying to do the right thing and not be a total dick, so he just kind of shoved him off the stage. If he would have been mad, he would have just punched him right in the face. He probably wouldn't have died. He probably would have fell over and the guards would have drug him off the stage.
Yeah, he would have let security grab the guy and he would have been like, take him backstage and get him out of here.
Yep.
You know, which I guess that would have been a blessing for the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so to change the subject, we start off with all this gloom and doom about killing people and dying. And happy hump day, everybody. It's Wednesday. Hope you get some humping in. And while we were talking about the – let's talk about the Dixie for a second. Like I mentioned, it's the rockin'est good time between Eugene and Portland.
Yeah.
I mean, where else can you go to get good music and comedy and breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yeah.
They've got a full schedule of music and whatnot. Tuesday, last night, was singer-songwriter night, usually a packed house. Tonight will be the blues jam. Karaoke tomorrow, ladies' night on Fridays with $1 well drinks with every vagina.
Yep.
Can't have a penis. And then Saturday, there's usually live bands. Last weekend, there was a comedy show, and that was fun.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
On Sunday and Monday, you can go hang out in the spacious outdoor area and play some horseshoes, maybe listen to some acoustic.
Horseshoes are big there, I hear, on the live music nights.
They're
or
big.
Not live music nights, I meant the ladies' nights.
They're big in Tangent because there's a bunch of cowboys out there.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
They got horseshoes hanging around. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody enjoys horseshoes, but that reminds me of Saturday night's comedy show. If anybody's listening who attended that, thank you very much for being there.
That was a lot of fun.
Had a great time. Don Frost was hilarious, as I predicted. And thanks to Scott for giving Don some material to work with, you know.
And for being a good sport.
Yeah, he was a good sport. Yeah. I thought he was going to get mad for a second. I doubt if, well, there was cards scattered all over. Scott, you might be listening. Shout out to Scott. Hey, buddy, put some shoes on, could you?
No. No shoes, no shirt. Well, you can't play pool on comedy night either.
That's right. That's another nice thing about it. Most bars won't accommodate comedy as much as the Dixie, so they will bend over backwards. So, you know, if you got a show you want to put on, contact Jake out there at the Dixie Creek Saloon. Also, you can bring your minors in if you got a girlfriend that's underage or if you want to bring your kids in. They can come in with you till 7 p.m. You'll have to pretend you're their dad, though, because they're supposed to be with the guardian.
Yeah.
Well, if you bring Crimson Guardian in, maybe you could bring a bunch of
I used to
in.
Take my ex-girlfriend there before I was of age, and I just tell everybody she was my grandma because she was 68.
Was it B. Arthur?
Yeah.
I don't care what people said. You're right. She's still hot. She's just dead.
Yep. I hear, is it the 28th that Crimson Guardian is going to be at the Dixie?
I hope so. I don't have my information in front of me. Are they playing with Earth to Ashes? Is that the one you're talking about?
I don't know.
I think they're playing the Black Forest on the 28th down in Eugene.
Oh, that's right. They are.
Yeah.
They are, but they got a new CD out. It's called Kingdom of Pain, and you can order it online at their website. I'd encourage everybody to check that out.
I would encourage them to go to their shows, too, to buy it instead.
Yeah.
But yeah, go to their website. Yeah. What is
their
website?
CrimsonGuardianWorld.com. They also have shirts. Yeah, or you can catch them live at any upcoming shows at the Valley. You can see that on their website, too.
They have a Reverb Nation page, too.
They do, too. Yeah, you can download their MP3s. But CrimsonGuardianWorld.com. Thank you, Crimson Guardian, for your support. You guys need to go out there and check them out. Support them. Buy a CD, a shirt.
That's right. He came out. Dave came out to the show and supported some comedy.
He did. Evita Midwifery was there, too.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can check them out at evitamidwifery.com.
Get a whiff of that.
Yeah. I never knew it. I always thought it was midwifery.
Yeah, me too.
Midwifery.
Yep.
Which flows much more off of the tongue.
Whiff.
Yeah, midwifery.
Yeah, and there's one guy that wasn't there, but, you know, he came out the weekend before. Stan, where were you? You said you were coming to the comedy show, bro.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I was a little bit stiff up there, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I could have prepared a little bit better, I think.
Just to hope that he'll come to the next one. Shout out for Complete Ag Resolutions, another sponsor of our show.
Complete Ag Resolutions. If I would have been funnier if he would have came out.
Yeah. I was totally uninspired, man. I started sweating because I thought Stan was going to be there in his fucking AMC race car.
Yeah.
He's got an AMC.
I thought he was going to drive his tractor so I could hang out in the air-conditioned tractor cab.
Oh, yeah, and another shout-out. He used my fucking car wash today.
Awesome.
Or else he just had a real clean truck and parked in front of my car wash and took a picture of it. But he was representing, so I got to find his business and go park in front of it with my pentagram van and say, hey, I was out here getting my Pinta van fixed and got the air conditionings all
spooked. Do you have any stories about the Pinta van?
There's a lot of stories. I've had that van since about 2006. I've had about 6 years.
Wow.
I paid $450 for it.
That's a lot of mileage out of that.
Dude, I've driven about 25,000. That van has been from Everett, Washington, which if anyone's not familiar with that, that's up past Seattle, down to Oakland, California, and just about Bend, everywhere in between. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been to the coast. Well, we rode along the coast on our way to California.
Yeah,
so
101 or whatnot.
So here's the story of the van. We're cruising to Arcata, California to play at the Boiler Room for the first night of our mini tour. And it's starting to get dark. It's December 7th, so it's kind of chilly. Chance of snow at any time, or freezing rain or whatever. So we get to Grants Pass, and we get to a stoplight, and the van dies. So we push it into a parking lot, and a guy gives us a jump start. We get going. Everything's working good. We don't know what was going on. Then as it starts to get dark, we notice that the lights are starting to get dim. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're losing power. We're thinking the alternator's not working because if we turn off the heater, because it's fucking freezing, the lights get a little brighter. And so there's, like, we're out in the middle of nowhere, headed between Grants Pass and Cave Junction. And we stop at this little market, and we're like, hey, our car's fucking up. What can we do? And they're like, oh, the closest town, you can go back to Grants Pass. But then you're going to be backtracking. We're trying to get to Arcata, California. We're going to try to make it. And so the temperature is quickly dropping. It's like 28 degrees, and we finally get the van running, and we make it into Cave Junction where we have to stay at a motel because our van won't run anymore. So we had to cancel our first show. And then we walked into the lounge of the motel, and there's this dude that must be 80 hosting karaoke. And he's singing the worst George Jones, George Strait, all the country singers that start with George. And it was
George Jetson.
And his, like, the mix, the vocals were so loud. And he had one of those old guy voices,
like he had a half a chew in.
Oh, it was horrible. But I think that might have made me decide that I could do karaoke.
Yeah.
I could be a karaoke host and make money doing that.
Yeah.
So, long story longer, we got up in the morning and looked around the part shops and couldn't find it. Is that the ice cream truck?
Might be.
I thought I heard the ice cream truck. Boy, it's a nice day for ice cream. But, so Yeah, don't be surprised if you hear the ice cream truck going by in the sack. We're recording in a sack.
UPS. I'm expecting a boom arm for one of our mic stands.
Well, excellent. Hopefully they'll deliver it while we're doing the show.
Word.
But so we drove on to Crescent City because, boy, when we weren't using the lights and shit, it was working just fine.
Yeah.
And I think that the brushes were just going out in the alternator. And God, then we finally wait till it starts getting dark. We pull over to this abandoned gas station. We change out the alternator. We drive on. Everything's cool. Then we get in the worst rainstorm ever. Pat's driving in five lanes of traffic in Oakland, fucking rain sideways. So we couldn't drive very fast. So long story even longer, we're late to the gig.
55.
So we get to the gig at Colorblind Studios with Hacksaw to the Throat, and we fucking...
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, they were very accommodating, and they had pushed the show back. They had had another band play before they were supposed to because we were late. What else could they do? We had that happen in Portland, and they're like, nope, we're holding the stage for you. We're like, what? Just have the next band play. So we unload directly onto the stage and play for half an hour. And then catch our breath. But yeah, the van has served me very well. That was a very anticlimactic story. But we made it where we were going. We did have to cancel one show. And then we did another show in Oakland. And then we came back and played, I don't know, somewhere else. But it was fun times. And I've driven that van all over hell and back.
Who owned it before you that had what symbols were on there? There's horses on the side in a circle pattern, right?
Yeah, and it says the National... The National Association of Arabic Horses or something like that.
And what you did since they were circles is you made giant pentagrams.
Yeah.
And then
I measured it out, and I actually used like paint tape and everything because it would have been crooked and shitty looking.
And
if
then
I didn't.
You would drive it to pick up the kids from school.
Yeah, and they would brag about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, one time we were going through the drive through at Dairy Queen. And there was like this 16-year-old girl, and she like looked at it, and she could kind of see the words, the National Association. She's like, are you guys from the National Satanic Association? She was totally serious, too. It's kind of funny. We're like, no, it used to say Arabic horses. And,
yeah, don't you see the dead horse right in the
center? Dead horse. But, yeah, for $450, boy, we've got our money's worth out of that sucker. Shout out to one of our former guests, Jerry Murphy. I showed up at the podcast last week, and he had stopped off before I got here to drop off sodas for us to enjoy and bushings for my wipers on the van, which me and Jake Quinette finished up yesterday. He came over and helped me, and now my wipers are working again, now that it's not going to rain for 20 days.
I know. Is that the ice cream is getting closer, huh?
I hope you guys can hear that. I hope you guys can hear that. Wait, be quiet. You have to be able to hear that.
Yeah.
So we might take a break for some ice cream. No, just kidding.
Hacksaw to the Throat. I saw him up in Portland at, what was it, the Jolly Inn?
Yeah, with World of Lies and a bunch of other good bands.
Dude, those guys are badass. And I mean, like, I got long hair, but like super hard kind of death metal stuff, you know? I mean, that's kind of...
They just make me go...
Yeah, but those guys, you know, I don't know if it was the melodic feel that they had and just the thunderousness, but... Those guys were a fantastic live, and that place is super small. There's like a small
tiny
20 by
corner.
10 room with two pool tables jammed in there and then four bands worth of equipment.
Just right in this little corner with no fucking stage or nothing. We're like on a rug in the corner.
It's worse than Tiny's Tavern in Eugene.
But the cool thing about it was that they just slayed. They just set up their shit and they just killed, you know? And
those guys are
that's
awesome.
the cool thing about them. The sucky thing about them is that they broke up because they all had to go their separate ways
to
college.
You can still check them out like on MySpace or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. And you could probably find their albums on eBay or Amazon because they had a really small record deal for their Wasteland CD, which definitely check it out. They're not just brutal death metal, which they will rip your head off, but then they'll get all neurosis-y on you. They'll get all... like melodic, clean guitars with different harmonies, and just they got a piano piece on there. It's just fucking awesome.
Do you think? Remember the day that MySpace died? I don't know if there's a certain day, but you know MySpace is dead. Do you think Facebook will ever be at MySpace's status?
I think it will.
I just can't envision it though. I just don't see. I mean, just so many people are on.
Do you know off the top of your head how many people are on Facebook?
No. It's got to be a huge...
Now, I remember when I started MySpace, there was an unimaginable amount, like...
70 million.
I think it was less than that, but 60, even 2004. And then, like, within 3 or 4 years, it was, like, billion. Yeah. I don't even know how many, but the reason I left MySpace is probably the reason everybody else did. It kept crashing my computers.
There's so much just crap on it. It was kids' play, right? I mean,
yeah.
The good thing was for adults, I think, well, it was for bands promotion. It was set up nicely for bands and stuff. But
that's the only reason I ever went there is because people told me you could put your songs up on there and you could create a bio. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, and you had like 10 band pages, right?
Dude, I thought these bands at first were suddenly like, oh, I go to MySpace page. And I go, for a band? Yeah. I go, that isn't that like a social networking thing where you keep in touch with your friends? Not knowing this is the future of all mankind, Mark Zuckerberg, you rich son of a bitch. But yeah, maybe it won't. I don't know. Maybe it'll get hacked out. Maybe it'll go by the way of MySpace. I don't know. I see a lot of people saying, I'm done with Facebook. And then they're like gone for a couple months.
It's
and then
a
they
huge addiction. I they mean, come even back. Bigger than MySpace ever was.
I think they should have it on My Strange Addiction. I can't go more than 1 minute without checking my Facebook.
Yeah, that's enough sometimes. But I network on there, too, you know, and talk to other bands and stuff.
I check
like
it all
that.
The time just because, like I always, it's just right there. It's in my hand.
Right? It's like your newspaper, but
exactly.
Of news of people that you.
If I'm not doing anything that requires any kind of thinking, like if I'm sitting out, if I'm sitting out on the porch smoking a cigarette, I don't want to waste my time idly and just let my brain go.
Don't you feel like it's just my feed's just filling up with pictures reposted from George to Kai and other people?
They did up the notification thing where now you can't control that you get a notification that people like. I thought if I go and unsubscribe to this friend, I don't want to delete them, but they're always every time they posted a new picture, they updated their status. I don't care about that. I want to know if my friends are posting stuff that I like, which that's kind of hard to pinpoint.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Oh, you know what I forgot to do before we get much farther? I'm going to have to send a text to someone so we can do our segment before the show's over.
Oh, somebody told me a segment idea today.
Oh, and I also wanted to mention last Friday we got so carried away with Dave, Super Dave. Thanks for coming in and being with us for the episodes. We got carried away and didn't touch on what's in Hans' CD player on Friday, which he was listening to Norska on Friday, the self-titled album by our good buddies in the band Norska. So Hans, you didn't get canceled, buddy. like Griefhammer practice did today.
I got an idea for it, but I don't have anything on my mind
what?
To go into it, but a segment called The Vault. And this is kind of a creation of Ron and I's at work. I'm sure probably people have some other creations. But The Vault is filled with songs that they should never, ever fucking play on the radio again.
Oh, like the Seinfeld Vault. You lock them in there and they never come out.
No, they never come out.
So, like, taking care of business?
Kiss, I Want to Rock and Roll All Night. That would be a good one.
Yeah, especially, I don't know what they did to that song, but when they play it on the radio nowadays, and if you buy like a greatest hit CD, it's something's different. They remixed it, remastered it, maybe re-recorded
Steven Spielberg took the guns out of it. That's what happened.
Yeah, or George Lucas did something to where they took Peter Criss's drums out and changed it to something that sounds like a drum machine with a whip. It doesn't sound the same. I've got the record, motherfuckers, Dressed to Kill. I will listen to it on a vinyl piece of vinyl.
I think, yeah, I mean, it would be fun for people to send us their songs that should never be played again.
I think maybe one of them should be Old Time Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
By Bob Seger. No offense. He was my first rock concert that I ever saw, and I loved it, and I loved Live Bullet.
Yeah.
But except Turn the Page got ruined by Teen Spirit.
What about Changes by Black Sabbath?
Didn't that kind of ruin Volume 4?
It did. It did. I was listening to it the other day because you were saying, you know, about Masters of Reality in Volume 4 last week.
I think that's why Master of Reality is my favorite album.
And so I was kind of comparing them. And, you know, I mean, what's the one song, Masters of Reality, I was naming Into the Void? Is that one on there? Or is that 4? I'm getting them both.
That's on Masters of Reality.
And Snowblind.
That's Volume 4.
Volume 4, okay. Yeah. So I'm thinking of...
You're mixing them up.
Yeah, what's that? Of the World.
Lord of This World.
Lord of This World.
Master of Reality.
Excellent song. Brilliant. But yeah, and so then I put it on to 4, and I'm just kind of listening to it. And then there's Changes. And I just see him in the studio going, Ozzy, you really want to have this song on there? And he's like, yeah. And the other guys are like, but Supernaut, one of the greatest songs of all time, is coming on right after that. How can we go from Changes to Supernaut? And Ozzy's like, just fucking whip up some instrumental bullshit in the middle of there.
Yeah, Tony, come on. With your prosthetic fingers, just make something up.
And so they did, you know.
Bloody hell, little... who's playing the piano? I don't know who's playing the piano.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, that is pretty awful. Hey, I just saw this, not to change the subject, but Black Sabbath, if you go to a lot of concerts like we do, and you go to Black Sabbath concert, you could lose your hearing, right?
Yeah.
You are firsthand at that. Dustin has a bad ear, in case
I
no one knows.
I always used to look to the right of the stage. I'd never look at the people. I would always just look to the right of the stage, and I can't hear it
now,
out of my
check
left ear
this
now.
Out. I recently heard an interview with a guy who is an author, photographer, maybe. He's an older dude. He's probably about 70. His name's Tony Millionaire. I don't know if it's his real name, but that's his name. Now, he had to wear hearing aids for years, and he hated it, and he never wore them because...
Is that where you have aids in your hair?
Yeah, you get ear fucked in your ear pussy, and you get hearing aids. So anyway, they did this operation on him recently where they took a piece of his head, the back of his head... skin or something, and they molded into a artificial eardrum.
Oh, wow.
And they sewed an artificial eardrum into his ear. Now he doesn't have to wear it's probably super expensive, but
yeah. If See, you ever... I'm missing the hammer bone.
Oh, MC.
Yeah, MC hammer bone.
Can't hear this.
Yeah, it kind of... I can't hear this. Do-do-do-do. Hey, yeah, it kind of disintegrated in my ear from just... like bacteria growing in there. I don't know what the fuck it was.
I cracked myself up sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, you know, have you ever used one of those ear candles? You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, my wife tripped me out when I first heard of those, and I watched her do it to a friend, and it sucked out this whole long piece of earwax.
See, I thought it was you lay your head, and you had it underneath, and it kind of like let it drip out.
It sucks it out.
She's saying that you let it drip in.
It doesn't drip in.
Oh, it doesn't?
Nope. Okay, it's kind of beveled on the end, and you stick the end into your ear, not far enough to damage the drum, but it's kind of the same size as your ear hole, your ear pussy. And then when you light the top of the ear candle, it creates a draft that sucks.
Oh, so the wax isn't going into form around your ear
no,
like
no,
a
no. What comes out is earwax. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like, dude, there was these big...
Yeah.
They look like Amber from the Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Like, you could roll it. It was like a long, like a joint.
Uh-huh.
Like a doobie, an Amber doobie.
Uh-huh.
It's gross. And I was like, that much stuff was in my ears. I could hear a lot better.
In mine, you know, because I had that thing growing in there, I lost a piece of the mastoid bone. I don't know if you know where that is.
Mastoid?
Like, so the canal, there's like an empty space above the canal. So if the wax went in to create a mold, I mean, I probably couldn't pull it out. It would.
Right.
So I was concerned about that. But now that you're saying that it doesn't do that.
So what you're saying is you have a mastodon in your ear and
it got
moldy?
Mastodon, yeah.
It got moldy.
It got moldy. It got moldy like Green Peter.
You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Green Peter. That was a great band. Remember those guys?
Yeah, I do. Haywire, Green Peter.
And they weren't named after the lake either. They were named after Al's penis. Just kidding. I just made that up. If any of you Haywire guys are listening, I'm just fucking with you guys. Hey, here's our segment that I was waiting for. What's in Holmes' CD player?
What's in Holmes' CD player?
What's in Honda's CD player?
If you listen real close, that's the same exact song we played last time. Just kidding. All right, this is going to blow some of you guys away, knowing what Hans is all about. Today, at work, in Hans's CD player, Bay City Rollers' Greatest Hits.
What? I would have never even guessed that.
I know.
What's their greatest hit?
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Night. S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Night.
Maybe
Saturday night, come Saturday night. Saturday night.
Maybe I just don't know if that's their biggest hit. Maybe I don't know any.
I don't know if that's their biggest hit, but
well, they have a whole CD of biggest hits.
Yeah, they're not big, but they're great. They're the greatest hits ever.
So, are you a Charlie Sheen fan?
I was a fan of his craziness when he got all wigged out, but I was never like. But I didn't watch all of his
movies. No, but I just meant in the funny sense, like you're saying, you know.
I think it's funny that he freaked out whatever he did and like started saying, "Yeah, I'm on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen. I drink tiger's blood. I'm winning. I have to do a seven."
I watched his new show the other day. Yeah. Anger management.
Oh, someone else, one of my friends posted something about that.
Yeah, where they were watching, where he's a therapist.
Now, when I think that, I thought of the movie with Adam Sandler and Jack Nicholson, but apparently it's a new, is it a series?
It's a series, and it's, you know, I mean, it's Charlie Sheen acting like Charlie Sheen. It's the same character as he was before, but he's a therapist.
He doesn't act really, does he?
No. But, you know, I mean, he's got his own style, and that's all that matters, I guess. You know, people like his style. And, you know, it's cleverly written, and there's some stuff, like the opening scene was him talking to the camera about, like, I don't care if you took away my show, you know, working out his anger management issues to the camera and stuff. And
Does he play himself, or he plays
something else, but it's kind of, you know, I mean,
loosely based on his whole story.
Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, it's clever, and I don't know. I don't think I'll, like, continue to watch it or whatever, but there is a side note that I just wanted to mention that he recently came out and said that he gave Winona Ryder her stage name, and that she's never given him credit.
Huh.
And they were on...
I didn't even know that wasn't a real name.
I guess it's not. Her last name is Ryder.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I know.
This is like finding out Dio and Ween aren't their real names.
Aren't the same people?
No. That Dio and Carla aren't brothers and sisters. And for anybody who doesn't know what the fuck we're talking about, listen to the old episodes. You'll get it. It's like a TV series. You have to watch or listen to every episode to know the inside jokes.
Did you see that Dave Grohl picture?
I did. Now, are you trying to be mean? Did you see the Nickelback joke?
No, I wasn't. I just thought it was funny.
Okay, did you see the Nickelback tweet by Dave Grohl?
Yeah, I did.
Now, I wonder if that's actual. Well, someone
doctored that together. I've seen that before.
He didn't originally tweet
that.
No,
I've seen that for a while.
I really doubt that Dave Grohl would.
Yeah. But I think he wanted to make a statement by him being able to say it. I don't know if you're saying it's a doctored image, maybe?
Yeah, like maybe they just took the Dave Grohl Twitter page.
I thought he actually said it.
He might have retweeted it because he saw it somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it a few times on different.
I read that to someone, and they're like, "Is he sticking up for Nickelback?" I go, "No, he's saying it's not funny to ruin Nickelback. Yeah. There is no punchline."
I thought it was funny though that you know because it was, well, the thing that goes around is Dave Grohl all smiles. Been a legendary band twice, it says below. And then this one had
Dave Mustaine.
Dave Mustaine behind, underneath going, what? And then
really?
Dio going, oh, you must be new here.
Dio,
And Dio, I mean, of course, but
he's
you know,
been in three. He was in Rainbow, Sabbath, and Dio.
Yeah, but Mustaine, really?
He wasn't in Mega. I don't think he was in Metallica long enough to. He didn't have any albums with him.
I thought it was like, I'm not going to hold Mustaine up to girl status.
Nope.
Dio, I will.
Yeah.
Sure, Dio.
But sure.
Mustaine and Grohl, I think, are in different leagues, and I would put Grohl above them.
For definitely. Sure. Well, after watching Anger Management, do you think that that's more entertaining than his fucking this shit?
I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll.
No, this is classic here.
Go epic.
He's bi-winning. He's not bipolar. Are you bipolar?
So, I love him, though, because he's so unapologetic about how he wants to live his life.
Right.
You know, and he should. Just because he's fucking famous or whatever, I don't think you should have an obligation to do anything.
Yeah, for sure.
For anyone or to be anyone's role model.
Right. Hey, speaking of really cool bands, I'm going to switch subjects now. You like the Melvins. You heard of the Melvins?
Yeah.
I heard they played a secret show over the weekend.
Where was that?
At the East End Block Party in Portland. Like on Sunday. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And like they couldn't be on the flyer because of a proximity contract with Mike Thrasher. Because
they have a show coming up
at the Hawthorne. Yeah, so they can't announce it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just speaking of those guys, check out what they're going to do. They're going to attempt to set a new world record in touring.
Oh, wow.
They're going to attempt to play all 50 states in 51 days.
51 states?
All 50 states in 51 days.
Oh.
There's not 51 states, is there?
No, I thought that's what you said.
No. I might have. I'm retarded sometimes. They're going to play all 50 states in 51 days, which I guess the record must be 52.
I thought it was 50. I thought George Thorogood did 50 states in 50 dates.
Is that a record or not like a record for the Guinness Book, but like an album?
No, that was a tour that he did, and then that's when he was appointed the hardest working musician or whatever.
Well, now I'm going to have to look into that, because all I did was look into the fact that the Melvins were doing that.
But I'm not sure. I mean, it could have been 50 separate dates. I just remember seeing that flyer and just coming across.
Oh, yeah.
Story.
Like, it was still 50 dates, even though they skipped one day.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So this is going to be 51 consecutive days, 50 states. Mm-hmm. So,
there's a world record opportunity for people to come up they can be a part of up in Portland, I do believe.
For what?
They're trying to gather the most people to... Oh, I'm losing it. They do it every year as part of the Hillsboro Festival, I think. It might be Hillsboro.
But what do you do?
One of the city festivals last year they did tried to get the most people to yo-yo, and they fell like a couple hundred short. I'm at a loss. I can't remember what it is, but it's something that you can easily do.
Oh, it's going to be a large group of people doing one thing.
Yeah, they're trying to get like 3,000 or 2,700. Oh, I wish I could remember what it is.
We could try to go for the world's record podcast.
Yeah?
You know what it is?
24.
70. 70 hours, dude.
Now, are you allowed to revolve guests in and out?
Nope. Oh, I don't know. I'm just kidding. You could probably have more than... Fuck, it's almost 3 straight days.
Yeah.
We'd have to go 3 straight days to win. 72 hours. And I don't know if it has to be live podcasts, so they can't think that we... Because you're pretty awesome with your editing. Like, we've had some technical difficulties, and I've, like, searched for the spot to find a patch in.
Yeah.
But, like, not Pro Tools, but it might as well be, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was just wondering how they go about that, if they must have someone then that's going to document it.
Yeah, it would have to be live, I think, and then, you know, you'd probably have to have some sort of banter going on, or there couldn't be, like, you know, okay, we're breaking for this amount of time, you know? They probably have... One person could probably go to the bathroom while the other person's chatting or whatever. I wish I could figure out what this world record thing is. It was something, one year they broke the record for wearing, most people wearing Groucho glasses. And, you know, just silly stuff like that.
Yeah.
They just do it every year. And if you just go online, probably search for world record, Hillsboro days kind of a thing.
Huh.
Check it out. I'll put a link on the website regardless and probably edit out my all.
Way to bring up a topic and not fucking know how to back it up. That's about like me. And you totally threw me off. I'm like, yeah, the Melvins are going to do a world record 51 days. And you're like, George Thorogood did 50. And I'm like, he did? God damn it. Son of a
bitch. George Thorogood.
He's the hardest working man in slide guitar. Hey, have you ever had any good interactions with police officers, like positive?
I know I've probably had a couple, but they were always so brief that they're not memorable.
Like, well, a lot of times it might not be.
Yeah,
when...
I guess I have. I was out at a party and a cop showed up, and you know they were, you know, obviously I'd check everybody's ID, but they were pleasant about, you know, having to do their job.
Sometimes it seems
been trying to bust us or whatever. And
where were you when this happened? In a big city or a small town?
Small town.
Okay, now that's my point that I'm going to try to get at here. I think the cops in the big cities have to put up with so much crime and bullshit and assholes and scammers and stuff that they're just so jaded against everybody who they're portrayed as a criminal that they're just going to, I'm the cop, I am the law, you won't fuck around no more, you know, like Anthrax.
Yeah.
But I think in the smaller towns, you run, like, for instance, one time my band, the Bone Jars, was playing at the Brownsville Tavern before it was the Saloon back, I think, 2000 or something like that, maybe 10 or 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is odd for it to happen, but the cops got called for a noise complaint for a bar band.
Yeah.
I mean, this lady had paid us to play, and the cop had came in or whatever. So we were done, and the cop was we were already done. And so he's like, okay, well, I just came out because we kind of follow up on the call. So I get to talking to him. And he turns out to be this pretty nice guy. He doesn't look like a metalhead or whatever. He's like, so what kind of music do you guys play? And I was like, oh, we play classic rock, you know, just stuff you hear on the radio from the 70s and stuff. And he's like, you look more of like a heavy metal guy. He goes, you ever listen to Slayer? And I'm like, yeah, I love Slayer. They're like one of my favorite metal bands. He's like, I have a couple Slayer CDs. And I was like, so this cop's trying to identify. He's totally being nice. And that's my point is like one time, which we'll be getting to our segment, Where's Pat? Before we do that, I'm going to segue with a story about Pat. He, Pat Wambacher was looking for me in Brownsville, and he was from Lebanon, so he didn't really know the town of Brownsville very well. And he had went to my house, and I wasn't home. I think he had a headlight out or something in his mom's little yellow Toyota pickup. And Jeff Cohn, the resident deputy, Linn County deputy, pulled him over and said, hey, you know, you got a headlight out and whatever. And he's like, yeah. And he goes, are you from around here? You know, because he didn't recognize him, small town stuff. And he's like, I'm actually from Lebanon. You know, maybe you could help me. I'm looking for a friend of mine. He lives right there in that house. His name's Terry Guile. And he's like, oh, yeah, Terry Guile. And I won't use any names because... just because he's like, oh, he lives down at the, I'll say Smith, but the guy's name's not Smith. He lives down, or he goes, he's usually down at the Smith house, which just happened to be the local pot dealer's house, which all the cops knew, but it was one of those deals where they kind of kept a blind eye to it because he wasn't like...
Yeah, it's tolerated because what's going to harm anybody
exactly,
in the small
even though it was 20 years ago. So he's like, oh, the Smith house? And he's like... Yeah, he goes, you just go down Kirk Avenue, you take a left on Sage. He goes, and it's right on the corner there. He's all that. Always a whole bunch of cars there.
And then Pat walks in to get shot because nobody knew who he was? Or
No. It was just, I just thought that it, we always just thought that it was hilarious that the local cop gave Pat directions to the local pot dealer's house.
Yeah, that is great.
Because he knew that Terry Guile's always hanging out at the local pot dealer's house. So.
I guess I see that in like the small towns, maybe in something like that. Or the community is pretty liberal or whatever. But in maybe the medium-sized towns, like maybe the suburbs of around here, seems like a lot of them are bored and maybe they have more quotas than just kind of like a county kind of a thing would have going. So they have to kind of search a little bit more to meet their goals. Or as to where I see like bigger city cops, seems like they have more to worry about than just a weed smoker.
Right.
You know, to where, you know, it's not that big a deal or they're not going to really hassle you if they're looking for somebody selling 20 pounds of heroin to kids at school.
Yeah, these guys are just like selling 20 sacks of watered down weed.
Sprayed Sprite on there.
It's like it's keeping these guys out of trouble.
I got Flames. Have you ever met his friend Dwayne?
No, I've met Doug.
His friend came over to play poker one time and his name I know now is Dwayne, but Flames goes, this is Douchebag. And that's
he called
how
you
introduced
that?
Him. No, he said that was the other dude's name. That was his nickname.
Oh.
And I was like, that's, you know, you get introduced to a guy, you're not going to be like, hey, Douchebag, what's going on? And feel like the guy's not going to fucking slug you in the face, right?
Sure you are. So did you just knew him as Douchebag the whole time?
Yeah, for like 3-4 poker sessions before I found out his name was Dwayne. But he got that name because apparently he used to spray his bags of weed with Sprite.
Ew.
To add weight on there.
Oh, this guy, Mr. Smith, which is not his real name, he just sprayed regular water on there for weight. Now, I knew some other, he wasn't a friend, and I never met him personally, but I knew a guy before that used to spray it with sugar water, because then it would give it a nice crystal-y look to it.
Yeah. I think that's what the Sprite did.
And then one time, this guy who hadn't really seen weed that was that good, I gave him some, and he's like, wait a minute. We're like, what? He's like, this has been sprayed with sugar water, because it was just covered with crystals. You know, it's just massive crystals. And he's like, that's been sprayed with sugar. And I'm like, fucking bullshit, dude. Why would I spray my shit with sugar? Sugar shitter. Wow. Okay, so I think I got my phone hooked up here now. I hope I'm going to see if this works. This is going to be weird. I actually hooked my phone up into the board here. So if we can see if we can call Pat. Where's Pat? Whoa, it's right in there. That sounds like a radio station.
Where's Pat?
And I've preserved the original question that we were going to ask Pat. See, now I don't have to hold my phone up to the microphone. It's fucking awesome. We should start doing prank calls.
Yeah, somebody told me today that we should call someone else instead of Pat.
Where's Pat?
Having a few drinks.
Hi, this is Pat.
Oh, it available. Is not Pat. It is Pat's voicemail.
At the tone, please record your message.
You know that girl?
Message?
You have finished recording.
information.
Hi, this is Pat.
Or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback,
we're
sponsor.
Not on speakerphone.
Give him a sponsor.
What's the sponsor?
Let's give him a sponsor read.
If you would like to have your tractor serviced by Complete Ag Resolutions, just go to facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions and they could fix your air conditioner on your tractor. Hi, Pat. That was a little ad spot for our good buddy Stan. He sponsors us and listens to our show.
Yeah.
Unlike you.
I know. Take your tractor over there, Pat.
Take your tractor over there, Pat. I'm translating for Dustin because he's clear across the room. Hey, buddy. It was good seeing you on Sunday. I'm going to talk about that. I forgot to tell Dustin. Yep. I saw Pat. So, hey, buddy. Answer your phone someday, and we got an important question to ask you, all right? All right. Have a wonderful afternoon, and don't have too much fun making that honey.
You know, I used to go with Pat. He was my boss on Graveyard.
Used to go with him?
Met him and we'd go,
used to go with him? Were you like after, boyfriend
yeah,
and boyfriend?
We were steady. You know, we called it steady.
But, it was super steady.
We would go in the morning after Graveyard, and it would only take a couple old Milwaukees to get us drunk. And we'd come driving into Brownsville and for coffee, which is, what, like 30 miles away from either one of our homes or where we worked.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. I think we just like going driving around. And, we went to the Brownsville. They had that coffee house. And I don't remember ever going in there where everything just wasn't a morning, drunken, foggy haze.
He used to like, I think he still does. He loves to drive. I saw him this weekend. He actually
he does love to
he
drive.
Took his son and his wife down to the river on my parents' property in Brownsville. And then I was riding my bike to the store and they stopped to say hello. And then his wife criticized me for riding my bike all the way to the store. She's like, oh, you ride your bike all the way to the store. It's like, how would you know if I'm not going to like get a refreshing beverage and then ride 5 miles? You don't know. Don't judge me, Jen. but after I talked to him for a few, I told him that his brother had been on the show and that he should listen to it because we talked about him and whatnot and called him. And he said he was at my door.
Oh, when we called him?
When we called him.
So he's standing at your door like...
But he didn't see the call until later.
Oh, because I was going to say, if he's standing at your door, knocking on the door,
and I'm
then
calling
looks down
him.
And sees you calling him...
He should answer.
Sense. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, but he didn't see the call, so that was that. But speaking of Pat driving, he used to drive like so much. He would drive, like, I didn't have a license at the time, and I worked at a seed farm out halfway between Brownsville and Albany.
Uh-huh.
He would drive from Scio to halfway between Brownsville and Albany to the seed farm and then take me to Waterloo and then drive me home. Sometimes he would drive all the way from Scio to Brownsville and then drive me back to Waterloo and then drive me back to Brownsville after practice and then drive back to Scio.
He loves to drive and he's a good dude like that.
Yeah, and sometimes he wouldn't even ask me for gas.
I barely knew him 2 weeks and he lent me $200 and his Forerunner, the one where the top comes off to go and see Tom Petty up in Portland.
Fucking awesome.
And I almost ran over kids in it.
Awesome. Sweet. We didn't tell him that till now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I want to call it a listener review. It wasn't on iTunes or anything, but it was on our Facebook. Mr. Zach Rowe said that it is his favorite podcast.
Awesome.
And to keep it up.
Unfortunately, he only listens to one.
Yeah.
No.
And I joined a group, the Great Danes of Grunge Seattle, I think it is.
I saw that. And, you got
and they were tremendously supportive of the TagCast and the Sick Daddy podcast and listening to it. There's some bumps in numbers on those days.
I think we broke 1,000, didn't we?
We're at 999 as we speak.
Somebody download it right now.
So if someone's listening to this right now, you are probably the 1,000th
Hey, Pat.
Listener.
Pat, you're the one that should be because this is why I didn't finish my story.
Yeah.
He goes, what was that website address again? That means he hadn't been listening to it. Because
you got to give him one of those cards.
I didn't have one on me, but yeah. And in case anybody doesn't know, how'd you get here then? No, it's www.tagcastpodcast.com. But he has this uncanny ability to... Well, I don't think he practices it much anymore, but he used to be able to drive drunk and not get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Like, he'd get pulled over by a cop and pass a sobriety test. Now, this one time, we had this girl with us who was, like, 15, and we were, like, 23. Yeah.
She's only 15.
That's how we rolled back in the day. We were with a little girl. And, top it off, she's a runaway, right?
My little runaway.
She was a runaway. And, not only that, so the cop pulls us over. He's looking for said runaway.
Yeah.
We had four people we had four people in the cab of a little yellow 78 Toyota pickup.
Uh-huh. Oh, I thought you were going to say a cab.
Somehow this girl turned into like virtual liquid and we just kind of threw a coat over her under my legs in the front seat of a two-seater. And the guy's like shining his flashlight in. We're looking for a girl, blah, blah, blah.
And he just thought it was a runaway.
Just thought it was a pile of clothes or something. But Pat got out and talked to him and said, yeah. He goes, oh, you been drinking? Oh, I had a few beers earlier, which when it was okay to say that. And he touched his nose and walked a straight line. And he's like, you know, my girlfriend is friends with that girl, and I know where she lives. You want me to show you where she might have gone? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. This is 3 o'clock in the morning in Brownsville. So Pat goes, I just got to drop my friend Terry off around the corner, and then I'll meet you over at the Dairy Mart. Wasn't the Dairy Mart then, but it was still a store. Uh-huh. Cop said, okay. Didn't even follow us. He backtracks and goes to the store. Pat pulls around the corner and lets me and the runaway out.
Nice.
And then goes and takes the cop out to the girl's house, where she obviously isn't because she's in my house.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was Harboring a Fugitive 101. If you want to do that, just go for a ride with Pat Wambacher, because that's what he does.
I was going to ask if y'all gang finger, but I guess that would probably be something for next one.
What? Just for the record, me and Pat have shared lovers, but never at the same time.
Oh, wow.
He always took them after me. Oh, what? What? He won't deny that shit either.
So we got some listener feedback, too. We have a Tumblr page, right?
Mm-hmm.
People can send us a message there.
Sweet.
And you can do that from our tagcast.com page. You can, it'll say like leave a comment or something, interact with us. But somebody left an anonymous message and it simply said, Google moose turd pie. Moose turd pie. Google moose turd. Moose
that's hard
turd.
To say.
Maybe that was the whole thing.
Let me try
I was
to
like,
say,
what the fuck does that
Google
mean?
Moose. It's hard to say Google Moose. Google Moose Turd Pie.
Google Moose Turd Pie. Now, you got to really get that L at the end of Google.
You know why? Because we were talking about the moose poop treats.
Well, now it even makes sense to me.
Okay,
now.
Yeah, you have an absent mind. Google
I was told that
moose
earlier today,
poop
too.
Moose, what is it? Google Moose?
Moose Turd Pie.
Google
and
Moose
I did.
Turd Pie. What came up?
It was some Canadian old, I think it was Canadian. It was an old singer. That was all I was seeing.
Was he singing about moose turds? That's
like,
hard to
I
say.
I didn't see any videos. It was just him, and he looked all crazy.
Moose turds.
Gray hair, and I don't know, just looked like some kind of novelty comedy singer.
Do you like moose turd on your hot dogs? Oh, do you like ketchup? I would like some gray poop on moose turds.
No, burnt weenie sandwich.
Ooh, yeah. So we probably better be to plugs about now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got some shows. My list is getting shorter because I haven't. Do you got anything on your list of shows?
I do. I just got the August 4th at the Wow Hall. I do believe it's. I'm not sure on exact details, but I do believe it's going to be a benefit for the Wow Hall. Still waiting on ticket prices.
Okay.
But it's going to be Awake. Catechists, Sons of Confusion, and Strange Dichotomy opening up the show.
Eugene?
And Eugene, Oregon.
Ethan Lincoln.
Yeah, on August 4th.
All mother effing ages, so bring the kids out, Pat.
Yeah.
I mean, your kids are in town. They love Sons of Confusion, or so you've convinced them.
Yeah.
Tell them to come out. You guys can pick up a copy of The Three Feather Pimp.
And then the big trio on August 11th of Vermin Fest out at the Riverside Grange. Then the after party at the Dixie and Tangent, and then Psycho Fest, Psycho Stock out there in Sweet Home.
Oh, yeah.
Which we sponsored.
Choose Your Poison.
Yeah. Choose Your Poison wherever you are. Check out one of those shows. If you're not at one of them, then you fucking suck.
That's right. And the comedy list has grown kind of short after a lot of comedies. I had a great comedy weekend at Independence and at the Dixie Creek Saloon.
How'd that go? Did they get the dog patched up, right?
They'd already had him patched up, but he was just trying to get some reimbursement.
He just had Band-Aids on him. Now they got some full stitches.
He just had bills, actually. He was holding him together. I don't know. They didn't really tell us how much they got, but they did a 50-50 raffle where some lucky person in the audience got half the money from the jar of the raffle
tickets.
Did that
go over really well?
Oh, it did. It was great. There was a big festival going on in town.
As a promoter, I was just wondering.
Independence. You figure Independence Day is going to be kind of important, so they celebrate for like the whole month.
Uh-huh.
Fireworks every day for a month. No, just kidding. But they had a carnival and a band, and so there was a lot of stuff going out on the streets, and we wondered, is that going to take away? And we figured booking it when the town was busy would be a good thing, but it didn't backfire, but it kind of just evened out, you know.
Uh-huh.
Some people were too preoccupied to come to the comedy show because there was a carnival and a band and stuff. But it was great. The room was almost full, and there was a lot of great comics. I met some cool comics. Shout out to Andy Shands, who actually did 30 impersonations in 90 seconds.
Wow.
Yep. And they all said the same phrase, which the phrase uses all letters of the alphabet.
You'd almost have to, though.
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
3 seconds each.
Yeah.
That's got
to
be.
And the longest one was Christopher Walken because he had to pause for a while. But anyway, the only comedy thing I got coming up is Friday, July 20th. It's an all day, all ages, outdoor free festival called Lane Fest. It's at the A-Frame, which is a place just east of Salem on Highway 22. You can't really miss it. I'll get more deets on that as far as how to get there and whatnot. But I thought that I had... here's some of the bands playing. Embalmed, 13 Scars, Aaron from Atheorchist, new band Shit is playing. Yeah, Scatterbomb, who recently opened for Leftover Crack at the Wow Hall. Celebrity Graves, who have a friend who was in that band for a while.
Are they related to my old friend from high school, Brian Graves?
Yeah, I think that's his brother.
All right.
And then Fuzzy Thunder's playing. Mm-hmm. Remember those guys?
Yeah.
Never Sleep, a whole bunch of bands, punk, metal, and Witchburn. And those guys are kind of a big deal. And there'll be a comedy stage at nighttime that's just comedy. I will be telling jokes there. Jesse Priest will be telling jokes there. I think Boomer will be there. So come on out. It's all day, all ages, July 20th at the A-Frame on Highway, just off Highway 22, just east of Salem. So, and that's it for my plugs. I know I got more.
An extra little plug for the aforementioned Brian Graves, my old friend. Well, you can check him out in Zombie Strippers with Jenna Jameson. He is one of the actors in that movie. He lives in L.A.
Awesome.
Yeah. So go and look for him.
I think I saw that as I was scrolling through Netflix stuff on the Instant Queue. Or not Instant Queue, but
Zombie Strippers?
Yeah. Is that a...
Jenna Jameson.
Is it a porno, though? Or no, that's what I thought.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, so that's all for my plugs, but we want to definitely mention the Dixie Creek Saloon for their continued support.
And we'd also ag resolutions.
Yep, Crimson Guardian.
Crimson Guardian.
And of course, you know who's the you know who we really have to mention?
Who's that?
The listeners.
The listeners, of course.
Because without the listeners, dude, what would we have?
Nothing.
We'd have nothing. Well, we'd just be sitting here talking to ourselves in a room, and no one would ever listen.
People should send us what they're grilling this summer.
Hey, I did some good grilling.
Send us some other stuff. You did some grilling?
We'll talk about that on the next episode on Friday, I think, because we're out of time right now. But, yeah, we had a good barbecue for the 4th of July, and then we had a follow-up barbecue after that. Actually, you were at my 4th of July barbecue.
Yeah, we'll talk about being I-ists.
Yes. So we hope that you guys had a wonderful hump day and hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back in 2 days with episode number 17.
Wow, already.
Maybe we could start that with Winger.
Yeah.
Because we're only 17.
Oh, yeah.
You know how that...
She's only 7. Do you think that people could get away with that song these days? I think they'd play that on the radio.
They'd play it, but you'd get frowned upon. Hey, you guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, rock on.
And metal.
TagCastPodcast.com.